gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the green light of free speech. Yes, you have a green light. You may proceed and speak freely, as long as you send lots of money to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664, or you phone in all of that money to 1-800... Huh? No. 512-248. Oh, I don't know. Listen to another show. You'll get it. And we have with us Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's good to be here. Albeit a day late, because obviously yesterday was Easter Monday, so I was doing... I wasn't doing anything that exciting because my daughter was ill, but I was, at the time you were doing the show, required to go on a mission and go with the wife and the poorly daughter to collect some supplies. So I couldn't.
Okay.
Well, now, it's a bank holiday, you see.
Dying Easter eggs, a British thing too, on Easter?
Yeah, of course. Of course it is. The only thing with the Easter eggs is... The only thing with the Easter eggs is she wasn't very well, so we weren't eating lots of Easter eggs, unfortunately.
Mm. Oh, well. Well, that's too bad, but at least we can know that she's a little girl, because it might have taken a while, but has Britain figured out how to tell girls apart from boys?
Well, this is very interesting, and it's come from a place where you probably wouldn't expect... Well, you would expect it to come from the High Court, and it was decided in the High Court. Actually, I'm wrong, Supreme Court. You'd expect it to come from the Supreme Court, and it has come from the Supreme Court. But it came in a very interesting way, and it's all thanks to J.K. Rowling of Harry Potter fame. She's, of course, the author that spawned the incredibly popular Harry Potter books, and I don't know how many copies they've sold, but they are one of the best-selling series of books of all time. They obviously became these massive Hollywood films, which were extremely popular. And on top of that, they've also gone to spawn sort of computer games, comics, merchandise. You know, she's extremely wealthy. And this is probably an example, probably one of the rare examples of somebody who has an incredible amount of sway with the public and an incredible amount of money, and he's incredibly famous, using their wealth for something that's good. So she has funded a case with the Supreme Court, where they have gone to the Supreme Court to determine, in the UK, this is the Supreme Court in the UK, of course, well, that's incorrect as well, it's the Supreme Court in England, I will believe it, because England and Wales are under English jurisdiction. I'm not sure what the situation is in Scotland. But she's gone to the Supreme Court in London, and the Supreme Court have made a judgment. And the judgment that's come back is actually really interesting. The Supreme Court have come back, and they've said that a woman is not something that you decide to be. Being a woman isn't something that's a state of mind. It's not a fad. It's not a belief that you hold. It is a biological fact that is determined at birth. And this is absolutely a massive blow to sort of those pushing this sort of bizarre gender bending ideology. And it is now a legal precedent in Britain that women are determined at birth. That's what the court said, that when you're born, your gender is determined, and you can still become a trans woman or a trans man, but that is not the same as being a woman at birth. And that's a really important ruling. It's something that's incredibly important, because I was going to say believe it or not, but people will believe it. People have already been sentenced to jail sentences, you know, harassed by the police for saying that men in wigs or bad drag are not, in fact, women. But the court has now stated, yes, they are not, in fact, women. They are not biologically a woman. And there is a big distinction between a biological woman and a man essentially cosplaying as a woman and calling themselves transgender. And this is an absolutely fantastic ruling. And as I said, for me, it's come out of an area I wouldn't have expected it to come out of, it because in sort of every other respect, J.K. Rowling is a bit of a, I believe anyway, unless somebody can prove me wrong, is a bit of a colorblind liberal. But in this case, she's actually come up with the goods, used her money for something good, and she has helped enshrine something in law which will hopefully protect women. And this should obviously give some pushback against, you know, transgenders going into women's spaces, going into sort of women's changing rooms, women's bathrooms, and hopefully also competing in women's sporting events. Because, you know, there's a lot of jokes, isn't there? There's a lot of jokes where, oh, look, you know, Big Barry with his wig on has just broken the woman's shot put record. Or, oh, look at Dave over there. He's just broken the women's, you know, 100 meters swimming record. But there is a more serious side to this, because in women's combat sports, we have seen men who have declared themselves transgender women competing against women and causing genuine women real hardship and pain, you know, in the boxing ring, in the octagon. And these things are absolutely horrific. I don't want to see, a woman basically being beaten the crap out of by a man who's grown his hair long and had a little bit of HRT. It's absolutely sickening. And hopefully this will go some way to keeping these ghoulish transgenders out of women's bathrooms, and go some way towards protecting women in things like, you know, athletics, sports, MMA, when they're confronted with this nonsense of having to compete against men who clearly have a massive advantage when it comes to things like muscle mass and different fibers. So there's lots of different fibers in male and female bodies that differ by gender. And obviously, if you are a man, you have a massive natural advantage. It means you are usually quicker. It means you're more powerful. So once a man who has grown up as a man and has had all those advantages of, you know, testosterone that women don't really produce in any significant amount, go up against...
Michelle Obama produces it in a significant amount, I believe.
she is pretty manly. I'm not one for the conspiracy theories, but she is pretty manly. But I will say this, you know, looking at this situation, I think this is a good thing. I think it could protect women, it could protect women's spaces, and it could make, you know, Britain a better place for somebody like my daughter, which, you know, I'm obviously really happy about. And for this to come from somebody who you would naturally assume to be a liberal is a pretty good thing. I think that, I'm happy with it, and I'm happy that, you know, that this has been done. So, yeah. Good news all around there, but it has led to a weekend of complete madness. You know, trannies were out in force in London at the weekend, and they had some pretty fruity signs with, you know, pictures of people.
Were they fruity signs? Because, I mean, trans people, is a trans person gay?
Well, when I say
somebody
fruity,
somebody might take offense.
Look, when I said fruity, I didn't mean fruity in the sense that it was probably a really bad use of the term. It was a pretty bad use of the term, actually. So when you actually when I was using the word fruity, what I meant was violent and disgusting. And what you actually have is a situation here with these signs where, if they'd been carried by nationalists and the comments on them had been aimed at ethnic groups, there would have been serious repercussions. So these signs read, they had pretty interesting slogans. I'm actually trying to find one. Here's one. It says, "Are you a transphobe?" And it shows a picture of a man stabbing himself in the face with a flick knife. And it says, but biologically. And then it says, "Why not try a DIY lobotomy?" Now, these kind of signs, you know, if you were carrying a sign that said, are you a migrant racist? Why not try, a home castration kit and show the man stabbing himself in the penis or the testicles, there would be absolute outcry. But these are the sort of things that, you know, certain groups can obviously get away with, and they are going to get away with it. I don't think there's going to be mass arrests, but it has caused much screaming and crying from, you know, the trans community. And I should imagine this will go on for some time. I should imagine it will go on for quite a while, and that over a period of time, what we will see is these people getting more and more upset because of this ruling, you know. And this has put real pressure on Keir Starmer. Keir Starmer is one of those guys that's been repeatedly dodging the question of what is a woman, because he doesn't want to come out and say, well, actually, a woman is, a biologically female human being. This is determined at birth, because the Labour Party are absolutely behind this trans, you know, the trans agenda. And this is a situation where he's being pushed now, because there are people in his own party that are saying, well, you've got to acknowledge this ruling, but he doesn't really want to. And I should imagine this will place him in a difficult position, and it will place others within the Labour Party in a difficult position. But interestingly, the people who have come out most on side with the transgender community, inverted commas, are big capitalist corporations, banks, big brands, you know, high street names who are talking about how they want to protect their trans members of staff, et cetera, which is very interesting, because, historically, people have often put forward this analysis that those pushing these agendas are sort of the communists, the far left, liberals. But in fact, it is these big capitalist corporations that were the first to run to the defense of transgenders, and were the first to sort of deny that, gender is something which is determined at birth.
You know, and you were mentioning sporting events and whatnot, but of course, you know, obviously we don't want to see men with wigs on beating women in the face, punching them in the face in the boxing ring. But there's also been a problem with women getting raped, or girls. Like, I know in Loudoun County, Virginia, there was a case where a self-proclaimed trans girl raped a actual girl in the locker room, and then the father was outraged and went to the school, and then the school had him arrested. You know, he went to a PTA meeting or a school board meeting, and they had him arrested. And, so there's this. You have men in prison declaring themselves women and then getting transferred to the woman's prison, you know, which, if you're in the men's prison, rape is an issue there, too. I can understand why somebody would want to be transferred to the women's prison, even if they weren't planning on doing raping, just so they wouldn't get raped themselves. But women are getting raped in prison. So, I mean, there's a reason why there are women-only spaces. And of course, athletics, people might say, women really need to be in athletics. Well, I mean, athletics is really, it's good for you. It keeps you healthy, keeps you fit. And, we don't want to, people don't necessarily need, everybody doesn't need to go overboard on sports, but being healthy is a really good thing. And I think it has been a good development that women, girls got sporting opportunities so that they can develop good health habits early in life and carry them into adulthood and remain healthy longer. I think that's what it's all about.
I think that women's sports have always taken a little of, a backseat compared to men's sports. And, you know, the reason that is obviously because generally when men do something, they are faster and stronger. So if you're going to find the fastest person on the planet, you are generally looking for a man, aren't you? If you're going to find the fastest guy on the planet, the fastest person on the planet, it's going to be a man. That is just how it is. But fundamentally, women's sports are still something which I think's I think are important. And there have always been, or there has always been, that sort of split. So, you know, if something happens like the London Marathon, what you will end up with is, a men's winner and a women's winner. Otherwise, it's not really fair, is it? Because why are the women there? Because, you know, 99.9% of the time, it's going to be a man that wins the race, breaks the record. And, you know, when it comes to things sort of like, you know, combat sports, it would be absolutely ludicrous to expect a woman to compete with a man. And I think that's one of the big problems that you've got with this. And it does protect women from this kind of situation. You know, it protects women from being, you know, exploited. It protects women from sort of not even featuring, because if you have a man winning the London Marathon, then you have a trans woman winning the, being the first woman in inverted commas to cross the line. At that point, what's the point of the women even competing? What are they there for? They are then just reduced to being window dressing at the event, and you know the window dressing at, and that's not really fair. And it's quite interesting because that is literally what, you know, liberals and, you know, and feminists have called for years. Liberals and feminists have said, you know, fundamentally what we need is recognition of women's achievements and safe spaces for women, etc., etc., etc. And I do think that is something that is very, very important. And I don't think we should just say, you know, it's easy just to laugh and say, well, look, women's football is a joke compared to men's football, and women's boxing is a bit of a joke compared to men's boxing. And, you know, women are never going to be the ones that break, you know, the land speed record, the 100 meters, or they're never going to be the strongest swimmers compared to men. But they do still have their niche. And some of these women work very hard. You know, there are athletes who dedicate their lives to breaking records, representing their country. And I think undoing everything that they have done and handing, you know, the medals or the records to men who are essentially cosplaying as women, I think that's wrong. I do think that's wrong. Yeah. And also, being a dad who has a daughter, you know, I don't want my daughter my daughter loves running. She also loves things like sports day. She doesn't, and I don't want her competing against men. You know, if my daughter wants to get into athletics, or if she wants to go somewhere and compete, if she wants to take part, I don't want her competing against, you know, some creepy little boy who thinks he's a girl. I don't want that. It's not fair. It's not right.
So, and there's also the aspect of, do we really want to be rewarding men cosplaying as women? Because, you know, to glorify them, put them up on a pedestal, literally put them up on a pedestal and put a medal around their neck. That's encouraging them. And that's not just encouraging them. I mean, that's encouraging others. Troubled young men especially adolescents get confused. People get confused sometimes. And you don't want to feed into that and say, look, you know, you're having trouble getting a girlfriend or whatever. You're unhappy with such and such. Here, be a girl, and you know, maybe you can't be a very good boy, but you can be a great girl. We'll put you up on a pedestal. Do we really want to encourage that? And I would say no. We don't want to encourage that. So there's that. Just one last thing regarding women's sports. You mentioned, I think you called it soccer, or maybe you should call it football, whatever.
Well, we call it football, but it's soccer. I mean, I know women aren't very good at soccer. So, you know, the American soccer team, the American female soccer teams, is largely regarded as the best in the world. But I think when they came to England, they played a, you know, under 15 team that spanked them sort of 8-0. And it's, you know, the under 15 boys team, obviously, that spanked them about 8-0. And that is what happens. You know, it's... Yeah. But there is a difference in biological sex, and that should be respected, and that's why they should be separated for sport. And obviously,
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full 1-year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion activated at furion.com. That's furion.com. That's furion.com.
Wake up. Stop wasting your own time. Today, my friends, Americans are more pessimistic about the economy than they have been in a very long time. And it can be soul-crushing to work as hard as you possibly can, still not have enough money for all the bills. If you're feeling a tremendous amount of stress about your finances, you ain't alone. According to a recent survey, approximately half the entire population is struggling with mental health issues due to financial stress. 47% of adults say concerns about money have at least occasionally caused anxiety, stress, worrisome thoughts, loss of sleep, depression, or other effects. That according to Bankrate's latest money and mental health survey. Bankrate? Who in the hell is Bankrate? Call Kettle Moraine Limited today at 602-799-8214. 65% of the people say their biggest concern is inflation and rising prices, and nearly 60% say their stress derives from paying for everyday expenses such as groceries, utilities. 56% say they're worried about having enough emergency savings. 47% are most concerned about being in debt. I like the people that are worried about having enough emergency savings. That's another one of the reasons that you should have been buying gold and silver years ago. Stop worrying about what it's worth from day to day. It's up, it's down, it's inside out. You stop worrying about those things. You can call Kettle Moraine at 602-799-8214 for a private consultation. That's 602-799-8214. Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. Call Kettle Moraine Limited today at 602-799-8214.
Them about 8-0. That is what happens. You know, it's... But there is a difference in biological sex, and that should be respected, and that's why they should be separated for sport. And obviously, having a little girl, having a daughter, you know, she is different to men. She's different to boys. And I don't want her going into the changing room at swimming and being confronted with some big hairy guy in a wig with, you know, some kind of fake boobs, you know, drying his penis. Disgusting.
As for, I play basketball. Now, I play, and I play with older people. I play with younger people. I also play with women, too. I mean, women will play. The thing is, like, I would, honestly, I actually would rather watch women's basketball than men's basketball, because the men's basketball, you're watching the NBA, they're huge. They're all enormous. They dunk. And this isn't, it just doesn't bear that much resemblance to the game I play, whereas the women don't dunk and they're not huge. And would they be beaten by the NBA team? Obviously they would, but it resembles the game I play more, so it's a little bit more interesting for me. I'm just saying personally.
So you prefer the women's game because you're slow and old?
Yes.
See, that's the problem there, isn't it? Slow and old Patrick is like, you know what? I'm slow and old. I can't dunk. I'm not very fast. But
I play with young people. I'll play with high schoolers. But they don't dunk either. I mean, I almost never am playing with somebody who's capable of dunking occasionally.
But, so basically what you're saying is, Patrick, your ideal version of basketball is one where you only play against children and women so that I'm talking about as a spectator.
I'm talking about as a spectator.
I thought Patrick had sort of hoop dreams and he was going to be
as a spectator, it's like the games I play with adults and sometimes high schoolers, sometimes, you know, young people, but also old people, mostly men, some women. The game is more similar to the women's professional game than the men's professional game. I'm just saying, not a big deal.
No.
Now there is more news coming out of Britain, right? We were talking earlier.
There's always more news coming out of Britain. But what was that news? That is the question. I've forgotten the other news thing that we were going to bring up. What was it indeed? I'm rapidly scrolling through my notes to actually find the other news that we had. And what was it? Because the trans women was... Here it is. So the Daily Mail, which is sort of everyone's favourite right-wing tabloid, it accurately has released a league table of the most dangerous countries for foreign nationals to come from. So to quote the headline, the foreign nationalities most likely to be arrested for sex offences, including one country with a rate up to 24 times higher than Brits. So top of the league table, which may not shock
you. Can I guess?
What?
I thought I heard Afghanistan, but I'm going to say South Sudan. Can I say South Sudan?
You're correct.
Am I correct? Okay.
Sudan, yeah. The top is Sudan, then Afghanistan. The third is the one that I always mispronounce. It's Eritrea?
Eritrea, yeah. Which
is that how it's pronounced?
When I was growing up, it was part of Ethiopia, Eritrea. It's on the Red Sea. It used to be part of Ethiopia. Before World War II, it had been an Italian colony. And then I guess the Italians tried to conquer the rest of Ethiopia in the 1930s. But yeah, Eritrea. So how about that?
Then it goes Iran, Iraq, Guinea, Tunisia, Namibia, Gambia, Kuwait, Yemen, St. Lucia, Egypt, Zimbabwe, Ethiopia, Syria, Jamaica, Barbados, Kenya, Algeria, Jordan, Kosovo, Nigeria, Cameroon, Somalia, Morocco, Turkey, Pakistan, Fiji, and Uganda. Okay. Now, the only one
I was just going to say, until you got to Fiji, I think every single country you named was either Muslim or African.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Fiji is pretty low down on the list.
It is. Fiji's 29, and it's closely followed by Uganda. But I said none of them were white countries, but somebody said Kosovo is. But Kosovo should be a white country because it's obviously in Europe, but it's one of those weird places where the inhabitants are largely, almost 100%.
They're white, but they're Muslim white.
Well, they're kind of white, but that's kind of odd when you say that, Patrick, because if you see Kosovans and Albanians, they do look different to regular Europeans, and they have a certain look to them. And that look is sort of a product of the Ottoman Empire's repeated interference in Europe. So there are still several places. So I wouldn't class them as European in the same way that I would class sort of a Swede or an Italian or a Frenchman. They are slightly different, but sort of there is a little bit of an asterisk there where people are an asterisk where you can say, yeah, it is in Europe, but they are Muslims and they have been, you know, ethnically changed over time. But it's still a pretty condemning list. And it really does sort of shine a light on the nonsense of, well,
you're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it, contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A five-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Howdy, cousins. This is RBN host Blackbird 9, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn, asking you to please support the Republic Broadcasting Network. Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voices to spread truth and relevant information, to gain a deeper understanding of the adversary, and to gain knowledge for survival against the gradual erosion of the Republic. But in order to sustain this incredible communications network, RBN needs your financial contributions. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 1-800-724-2719, or mail your donations to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Over time. But it's still a pretty condemning list. And it really does sort of shine a light on the nonsense of, well, we're all equal and we're all the same. And, you know, wherever you go the world over, there's good and there's bad in equal amounts. And we shouldn't stereotype people.
The Kosovars they're Albanian. And the Albanians, I forgot what they were called back in ancient times. But if you read Greek mythology, the ancestors of the Albanians, or at least what is generally considered to be the ancestors of Albanians, according to, you know, in ancient times, they had a pretty bad reputation too. I'll just say that people can look up the facts. I don't have to provide facts because I'm a radio talk show host. I don't have to provide facts. I can just say stuff, and other people can check it. But I don't mean to get down on Albanians. I'm a big fan of John Belushi. He was Albanian. Mother Teresa was Albanian. How about that? I don't think either one. Well, obviously, Mother Teresa was not an Albanian Muslim. There are Albanian Christians and Albanian Muslims, and to what extent they are, ethnically different, I really wouldn't be in a position to say.
Well, I remember
they were called Scythians. You look at the Scythians, and I think they were born out of thunderclouds or something, and they just had a really bad reputation.
Well, look, all I know is this. Obviously, Kosovo broke away from Serbia, and I would regard Kosovans as a different ethnic group. I would say Kosovans are a different ethnic group to Serbs, and they are a product of breeding. They're breeding. They are separate to the Serbs, and they do look different. So when Kosovans were coming over here in large numbers and seeking asylum, you would see groups of them walking down the street, and people would point and go, oh, look, there's another gang of Kosovans. They were easily identifiable by the way they looked and the way they behaved. So they were quite distinct in the same way that, you know, an Englishman and an Irishman look different. And I would say that because of, either way, this is getting academic. The point being, you know, even if you took that as a European country or as a white nation, which I don't class it as, it's very, very condemning, isn't it? That all of these different groups are so vastly more likely to commit sex acts or sexual offences against women than white Brits. But white Brits are the eternal evil according to the system.
Indeed. Yeah, I mean, that was a long list. You had dozens and dozens of countries in every single
Well, I basically looked at the top 30. I mean, the Daily Mail went further. The Daily Mail went further.
In the top 30, and it wasn't until you got to Fiji, which isn't a white country, but still. And Fiji is about half Polynesian and half Indian subcontinent. I think they tend to be more Hindu than Muslim. But and the ones who are a problem in Britain are these subcontinentals from Fiji, or are they Polynesians from Fiji? I would tend to think they're probably subcontinentals from Fiji. But yeah, Fiji's got a split population like that. But yeah, every country up in the first 27, 28 countries you mentioned were all either from Africa or Muslim.
Yeah, I think it's very telling. And when you look at the people who chant things like refugees welcome. Now, look, I'm not saying every single migrant is a sex offender, because they're clearly not. But it's about risk, isn't it? So if you said to people, well, look, you're going to bring a dog into your house. Now, here is breed A, and this breed never commits a fatal attack on humans. In fact, they rarely ever bite humans, and they're known for being friendly. And this breed over here is involved in numerous fatal attacks on humans every year, and their, you know, propensity for biting humans is, you know, in dog terms, pretty damn high. You're going to say, well, I'll rather choose from breed A because it's less likely to savage me and my family. And when you look at these nationalities that do have this vast, vast increase in the likelihood of them committing sexual offences, which look, they are the worst offences, aren't they? When you look at that, I think when you say to people, what are the kind of worst offences, targeting women and young girls for sexual offences, that's pretty much the lowest of the low, isn't it? Sex offences, you know, child sex offences, they're the worst. But this is what these people are vastly overrepresented at doing. And I think at that point, you've got to say, if you had a sensible immigration policy, people coming from countries where these kind of crimes are so much more prevalent, they should just be stopped. We should just have a blanket ban. I mean, why are we letting people in from Sudan when they have such an incredibly high rate of committing these kind of offences?
Indeed. And was it Sudan or South Sudan? Was
just South Sudan. Is South Sudan a thing? You said South Sudan.
Yeah, South Sudan was carved off of Sudan about 15 years ago, and it's in the south, and it's they don't speak Arabic, and they're darker and taller and thinner, and there's a fair amount in Melbourne, and they're notorious in Melbourne, Australia for crime. I mean, why Melbourne, Australia had this compelling need to import a bunch of South Sudanese refugees, I don't know. But
well, I can go further. So we got to 30. 31 is Trinidad and Tobago, then the Sierra Leone, Bangladesh, Saudi Arabia, Tanzania, Zambia, Albania, Libya, Sri Lanka, India. And then when you get to 41, you start to see white countries turning up. So 41 is the Ukraine, 42 is Slovakia, 43 Ghana, Portugal, Mauritius, Romania, Czech Republic, Mexico, Latvia, Lithuania, Angola, Nepal. Then you get into like Netherlands, Belgium, Bulgaria, South Africa.
But even then, the Netherlands, these Netherlanders who are committing the crimes in Britain, what kind of Netherlanders are they?
That's the other thing. Now, the interesting thing would be, you know, what is the rate that, you know, white Brits commit these crimes? You know, so it says, you know, including one country is up to 24 times higher than white Brits. So, you know, so we've got rate per 100,000. So I'm guessing the top one is 24 times more likely. So if we work this out, per 100,000, white Brits commit 50 sex offences. So white Brits are actually more dangerous, apparently, than people from Australia, Hong Kong, Greece, Canada, or Germany. Which is interesting. So there are, and Moldova, that's number 81. It goes all the way down there. So basically, all migrant groups are more likely to commit sex offences in Britain than white Brits, with the exception of Australians, those from Hong Kong, Greece, Canada, Germany, and Moldova. So there you go. But it does shine a light that when you look at the top of the league table, like you say, they are either African or Muslim countries, and it's something that's very dangerous. And it just goes to show that, you know, fundamentally, you know, mass immigration does pose a huge, huge threat to the indigenous people of the British Isles. Mm-hmm. And these statistics make for really, really grim reading. And the problem is mass immigration is so incredibly high. So for the last year of statistics that we have, 906,000 people, that was what net migration ran to in Britain, 906,000 people, that they know about. That's the legal ones. Then you've got all the illegal ones, the asylum seekers. So we're probably taking in a single year in excess of 1 million migrants, which for an island this small and a population of around 70 million is incredible. You're talking about a population increase of more than 1% per annum, which is incredible. Carry on.
I would say it's unsustainable, except that the plan is to sustain it and then overwhelm the native Britons. Obviously, that's the plan.
Well, it is, the entire economy is built around mass immigration. And that's done on two levels. I think we've discussed this before, but they bring people in because they want consumers, and they bring people in because they want house prices to continue rising, and they want the housing market to continue to be one of the central cogs in the economy. So this endless mass immigration is actually part of a much, much wider plan. And it's incredible that Western nations that were once manufacturing powerhouses that made their money from exports are now nations that rely on endless human imports to keep the economy afloat.
Mm-hmm. By the way, you mentioned yesterday was a bank holiday, and far be it from me to let a bank holiday go by without making a reference to Wallace and Gromit.
Indeed.
Are you familiar with the Gromit mug meme, where there's a picture of a Gromit mug, and then below it, there's a poll. I guess no. Somebody did a poll. There was a poll. Which would you prefer? Choice A, Gromit mug. Choice B, end racism. Well, the results were 91% Gromit mug, 9% end racism. I don't know if that was a scientific poll. I will say I actually have a Gromit mug. It was given to me. It's not as if I went out and said, this is what I would prefer. And I'm not trying to perpetuate racism, but I am just saying the Gromit mugs are pretty sweet.
I would say I would be partial to a Gromit mug if one was given to me.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty sweet. I got have it displayed prominently on my my china cabinet. Did I just completely stop the momentum that we had?
Did we have momentum? If we did have momentum, the momentum is gone.
Yep. All right. Hey. Here's one more thing. And this is the type of thing I could talk to you about off air, but. You know, you had Ron Unz on your show a couple of weeks ago, and I listened to Ron Unz reads he does weekly articles and he reads them, or he's using his own AI voice to read them. And he's mentioned you the past couple of weeks, mentioned his being on your show the past couple of weeks, and mentioned things that you say. I guess you brought up Caligula in some context.
I was talking about Trump, and I said that Trump had a very, very interesting way of appointing people. So he was a little bit like Caligula. So if you amuse him or he likes you, you can go from being sort of the tea boy to being in charge of the armed forces. So you'd have somebody like this Dan Bongino. Now, I don't know Dan Bongino, and I'm not besmirching him. I'm not saying he has a bad show, but I primarily knew Dan Bongino because he had a show on Rumble. And this show got a lot of viewers, and he was constantly shilling for Trump. And, you know, I thought, well, Trump's going to be happy for this. This guy is sort of one of his recruiting sergeants, constantly pushes him. But then he's like, look, Dan's now deputy leader of the FBI, deputy in charge. He's the deputy, FBI. You know, Dan, you're the man. It's like, well, that's a big promotion, isn't it? To go from being somebody who produces a show on Rumble shilling for Donald Trump to being second in command at the FBI, that's an incredible rise to power. But equally, Trump can fall out with you at the drop of a hat, and after plucking you out of relative obscurity, giving you an incredibly well-paid and powerful position, 2 weeks later he can be like, why is this guy second in command at the FBI? Because you made it so. God Emperor Trump, you made it so. Did I? What? Why did you allow me to do it? Well, I'm going to shoot you because you allowed me to make the bad decision and sack him. It was a bad decision that wasn't my fault because you didn't tell me it was a bad decision. And it's kind of like Caligula, isn't it? Or a little bit sort of like Idi Amin from the film Last King of Scotland. And you look at Trump and he runs his court very much like Caligula's court. He plucks people out of nowhere, you know, massively over promotes them, then falls out with them and sacks them a couple of weeks later. And there's not really a rhyme or reason to any of it. You don't look at it and think, oh, well, this guy's worked his way up. Because in the normal world, that's how it works, isn't it? In the normal world, it's like being part of a football league table. If you have a few bad games and you're the bottom of the table, you have to be consistently good week in, week out to rise up the table and get to the top. But then to get back to the bottom, you have to be consistently bad and lose week in, week out to slide back down the table. So it's not like you instantly go to the top of the table, then you instantly bounce back down to the bottom of the table. But that's how it happens in sort of a Caligula's court situation, where 1 minute you're serving the tea and biscuits, the next minute you're in charge of, you know, the FBI. But then 2 weeks later, he thinks worse of that and basically sacks you and publicly rubbishes you. And another time this occurred was this weird guy, I think you and I have spoken about it, Anthony Scaramucci, who's sort of now known as the Mooch, and Trump appointed him during his first term as press secretary. Everyone laughed at him. He lasted about a week. Then Trump sort of unceremoniously sacked him and completely humiliated the guy. And now the Mooch absolutely hates Trump. But it was one of those weird appointments where it was a guy that went from being the tea boy to having a pretty prestigious role, then back to nothing again.
Yeah.
And the way Trump runs it, I don't think it's stable. And I don't want to sound like, you know, the Democrats, and I don't want to sound like an establishment shill, but I do think Trump needs to appoint people who are loyal to him. But he also has to appoint people who have some form of history in the area in which they're being appointed. So
Say in the case of Dan Bongino, I don't know how old he is. I think he's still in his 40s, but he had a career in the New York City Police Force and then in the Secret Service. So he does have a kind of a background. But what you're saying certainly applies to lots of people. In fact, that Kash Patel person, I don't know if his background would be one of to be lead the FBI, and certainly the defense secretary, Pete Hegseth, he's widely regarded as having lacking the prerequisites. But please continue.
Well, as I said, you know, I'm not up on all of his appointments, but one thing I do know is that I think he throws people into places because he likes them and because they've said the right thing about him. And it's more about, you know, if you mind the phrase, an ass-kissing contest than it is about who's best for the job. So if somebody has kissed his butt proficiently and...
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Have you ever planted a tree for your home garden, orchard, or farm? Well, you'll know how frustrating it is when deer don't stop nibbling at them and you lose years of growth. We have a very economic solution called Tree Savers. It's basically a greenhouse tube at a very economical price. Most of the tubes are $3 to $4. Depending on the length that you want. Very easy installation. Check us out at furion.com. Furious Growth, that's furion.com. Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full 1-year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion activated at furion.com. That's furion.com.
And it's more about, you know, if you mind the phrase, an ass-kissing contest than it is about who's best for the job. So if somebody has kissed his butt proficiently and slavishly for some time, that would be the prerequisite for a juicy appointment, not being somebody who's good at the job. And I think there should be a little bit from column A and column B. Now, I know that Donald Trump is someone who is up against it. I know he's up against a deep state that has been systematically created in order to block the sort of changes he potentially wants to make. However, he can't just appoint people that have said the right thing about him personally. He does need loyal people, but he needs people who are skilled at the job in question. Because this in and out kind of attitude with appointments is largely based around the problem that he has of appointing people on the basis that they are very loyal to him or say the right things about him, but equally not being good at the role. So eventually they get humiliated and he then feels the humiliation and the heat and then sacks them and falls out with them. And that leads to this sort of dysfunctional governance that surrounds a Trump administration. I will say this, because I'm not the biggest fan of J.D. Vance, but J.D. Vance does appear to be a genuinely solid pick. I think Vance hasn't brought the kind of humiliation upon Trump that others have. And he does seem to be quite capable. And I think if Trump was to appoint a successor, I think Vance would be that person or should be that person. But I fear that if Trump appoints a successor, I think it really would likely be his son. I think he would pick his son.
Hopefully Barron.
No, the other one.
So there's Eric, who's taller and blonde, but then there's the one with the beard who it's Donald Trump Jr. That's probably who you're talking about.
Yeah, I think he'd appoint him. I think he'd appoint him, and I think he'd appoint him because Trump has already said that he wants another term, and he wants another term because he's acknowledged the failure of American politics in that you're allowed two terms, but you never truly change anything in two terms. You never truly make the changes that are necessary. So he has acknowledged that, and he said that although he couldn't run for another term, somebody could run, win, and then make him essentially the commander-in-chief. And, yeah, I think that's what he'd probably go for. And I think he would like it to be a political dynasty like the Kennedys. I think that's what he would want.
Like the Kennedys almost were, but didn't get to. I mean, as in terms of the presidency, the Bushes were more of a presidential dynasty.
Yeah. It's a better thing. And obviously the Clintons wanted to be as well.
Clintons were, yeah, they for wannabe. Well, okay, well, I think we're pretty much at the end of our time.
We are. But,
yep, I want to thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me on, and sorry for being a day late.
That's okay, and maybe you can get me in touch with Ron Unz.
I'll do my best.
That would be lovely. So thank you for joining me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
This is Mike Gatti, the rebel madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.